Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, as we come boldly to the throne of grace this morning, Lord God, through the blood of Jesus, by faith, hallelujah, in the works of the cross of Calvary. Father God, we ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Open up our ears. Open up our vocal utterances and let it be the expression of a living God. Hallelujah. From the throne of God. Father God, encourage, exhort, edify, Father, your people, Lord God. Father God, let us walk in your presence, in your counsel. Father, let us be partakers of eternal life. Father, we thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated this morning. I tell you, I've come to church this morning with an expectation, brothers and sisters of God. Amen. We had a wonderful service last night. I don't know if it was me. I made a statement that was probably one of the best messages that I'd ever heard Brother Arthur minister. And a beautiful continuity all the way through, kept the consistency of a continuity of the same theme of thought all the way through. And the Lord will do that in many times, and that's not how you could judge if it's from God. But then yet I don't look at it as this was the finest that maybe Brother Arthur. I could say that maybe this was the time that God had prepared for me to have my ears open and to hear what the Spirit of God was saying through the brother. Amen. So it doesn't mean that the times passed, that it was a problem in him. It might have been a problem in me. Amen. And wasn't hearing like I should have been hearing, or maybe wasn't listening like I should have. Sometimes we could come, we have expectations. I'm a Pentecostal and I sure couldn't learn anything from this Baptist minister, and you won't. But if you go hungering and desiring to hear the word of God, amen, God will use a man and he'll speak to your spirit, and the man won't have any idea of what he said. Have no idea of what was said. And a man could just go on into some things and it would sound just like some formulation of maybe rambling of some sort, and all of a sudden it strikes a place in your heart and in your spirit and it comes alive to you. And many things Brother Arthur said, as I encouraged different folks, I said you ought to get the message and listen to that message again, because there was so many little mysteries in a veil there. And many things, you know, I heard some of the brothers say, you know, Brother Pike said many of those things and said it maybe in a different form or a different way. I've said, I'm not speaking of I as a man, but of the Spirit of the Lord speaking through me, has brought many of those things out in a different terminology, using a different allegory. You know, if one chooses to use farming, if another one chooses to use aviation or whatever it may be, brothers and sisters, but there was some beautiful things that were spoken and said. And one of the things I was pondering on is that one of the things he said, he was speaking about revelation. You know, and we would consider ourselves here, our brethren at Little Bethlehem said, we would consider ourselves as stewards of the mysteries of God. We would consider ourselves being indoctrinated in the revelation of the Lord. And many of us that would be speaking about this revelation on a continuous basis, many have not ever really received the revelation. And the perspectives of what the brother was speaking last night, he spoke of the revelation in a dimensional perspective as a third part of what the full is, of the fullness of whatever you might say. Now, we've heard a lot of teaching on the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. We've heard a lot of dimensional teaching on the body, soul, spirit, the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. We've heard a lot of teaching in the translation, transformation, and transfiguration. And Brother Arthur, in times past, he was speaking of the Pentecost. And when we think of the feast, and we think of these different feasts, and the feast of the Pentecost, or of the tabernacles. And he kept speaking as in the tabernacles, as, and he would also use a terminology I've heard him used in times past and in conversation with him. Last night he said a third of the third, or he said a third third, speaking of another part. And any time when you're looking even for mathematical equations, there's the third part is the solution or the answer. And the thing is you've got to have these other two parts to get the third part. And as I said in people and times past, you don't hear a lot of teaching on the third heaven. And I've said so oftentimes, well, if we have a third heaven, We know there has to be a first and a second. Even though the scriptures are so many things that speak about that we would put into a dimensional sense of the first and second and third heaven, but the scripture speaks of the third heaven. So through the mind of differentiation, we bring these things out. But as he was speaking, he said the revelation had to go into the womb or into a circumstance, he said. And not trying to clarify what he said, but these are things that you've been taught. But through revelation and through the mind of God, through the spirit of revelation. But you know, he said that this revelation must go into the circumstance. He also used the camera, and he said the circumstance to bring forth creation. He also used the image, or he said you take a picture with a camera, there has to be the light, the flash of light. And then he said it had to go into the negative, and many times when it got into the negative, people would discard the negative. And if you looked at a negative, if you go and get your film developed and you pull the negative out, just as he said last night, oh, the girl had a beautiful white wedding dress on, but look, it's black here. You remember him speaking about that last night? He said, this is no good, and he threw it away. But it took the negative, and it had to go through the negative to produce the image. Now, when we think of image, and we think of the image of God, and we know that to bring forth the creation, but he said the revelation has to go through into the circumstance. The light has to go into the darkness to get the image. These are things that we've been indoctrinated in, brothers and sisters. And the thing is that he was bringing out the importance of the negative. Another little statement that he said of so profound. He said love, and we speak of love being made perfect. And he spoke about, he said, the love of a marriage, he said, is made perfect in the divorce court. Now that would blow a lot of people away right there, thinking, what is this guy saying? If we had love, we wouldn't be in the divorce court. Maybe you never knew love until you was in the divorce court. You see, in the thing in the mind of God, things come forth through travail. The Bible's very clear about that. It says that there's no child born unless there's a travail. Brothers and sisters, if I said it to each one of you, I said, I just want you to lift your hand and tell me an astounding something from the Word of God, of a miraculous event that God did in the Bible. I said, just somebody raise up your hand. And somebody would probably raise their hand and say, well, I think one of the things that stick out in my mind is, you know, when the Red Sea parted. But why did it part? Because there was adversity. There was an adversary pursuing them to take their life. And the people were fear and trembling of their life. Probably the most fearful time of those people's life is when they see the cloud of dust coming as the Egyptian armies are pursuing them to slay them. You know, but see, God moved in the midst of the tribulation, moved in the midst of the negative, moved in the midst of darkness. And this is when God showed himself. You know, in every supernatural thing of God, we think, oh yeah, but what about when they was on the Sea of Galilee and the Lord spoke to the storm and it went calm? You see, but there had to have been a storm there for him to show that. You would never understand peace unless you understood what the travail or the warfare was. You see, and these things have to come. You know, and another thing he said last night, he said, the fire of God never comes to the altar unless something has been put on the altar to consume it. Sometimes we want the fire of God, but we haven't placed anything for the consumption thereof. We haven't put anything on the altar. You know, and we want to hang on to our lives. We want to hang on to our ministries. We want to hang on to our families. We want to hang on to our children. And people want control, and they don't want to give control up. People don't want to submit a sovereignty to the ministry of God. People don't want to submit their sovereignty to God. They say, hey, I'm a Christian. And God's ever so politely wooing them and saying, this is what I want you to do. There's ministries that have failed because of a lack of obedience of giving their life as a living sacrifice. Well, Lord, I'll minister for you. I'll preach for you, but this is where I'm going to do it at. I'm going to live in such and such state, and I'm going to do it here. There's people that miss God because they put circumstances on when they're going to do it, how they're going to do it. As I was speaking to Brother Greg this morning, and I said, I found that the provisions of God come in the going of God. And most people don't see the provisions of God because they're waiting on the provisions to go instead of going and the provisions coming. Many times we want to see the manifestation of faith, but we haven't done the action of works. And the faith is dead. Until there is an action on your part of faith, faith is dead. We have to have live faith. Our faith has got to be made alive. And the only way faith is made alive is in action. You know, it's the action of the apostles. What are these things there in the book of Acts? It's actions of men that were active in the force of the ministry of the gospel to go forth and do something for God. And in these actions of the apostles, we see faith made alive. We see faith being manifested. You see, but in the adversity or in this negative that he spoke of, this little revelational statement, Brother Pike made many statements, and they chose to call them, they labeled them as 20th century proverbs. You know, and there was these little statements that the brother would make from many years of listening to the Lord and following after the mind of God. And as he said, if I'm here for any other reason, if I'm here for the offering, if I'm here to project myself or project my ministry or project my knowledge or project my understanding. I like what he said here. He said, I've been preaching the gospel 77 years, cock-a-doodle-doo. I've been to 45 countries around the world, cock-a-doodle-doo. Who cares? What matters is what were you doing there? Go talk to the movie stars and the people. They've traveled the world many times over. Man, I've been here and I've been there and I've been there. Who cares? You know, but what did you do when you was there? I've been preaching the gospel 77 years. Who cares? What was the fruit of the ministering? What is it? Where is it at? What have they accomplished? What are the things that are done? You see, but when a man is boasting in what he is, what his ministry is, what he's done, what his skills, what his abilities, then the glory doesn't go to God. And the glory goes to God when he receives all the honor. The only time man should be lifted up is to be crucified. That's what was with Jesus. He was lifted up to be crucified. Lift him up and draw all men unto him. But it was through the crucifixion. Amen. You see, we got to take things line upon line, as Brother Randall said. To give honor who honors due. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a time to honor. But it's not honoring. It is an honor to the brethren. But the only reason a brother could receive any kind of honor is because he's out of the way. He's dead. He's not doing it. It's unto himself. If Brother Manuel gives a church job for he could get the honor from the brethren, that's his blessing. That's the only blessing he'll receive by sitting in front of the people. Hey, guess what? I gave one of my jobs. You know? Cock-a-doodle-doo. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's commendable. A young man trying to go off in business, I say he's going through the right formulations to get God's attention, to say, Lord, here I am. But then yet it's still a group activity, a group effort. If he goes out and does the job on his own by himself and he brings the offering into the house of God, say, praise God. But you know, it's a group. The glory and honor goes to the Lord, the love of God, and the brotherhood that have taken and saying, here I am, God, use me. I could be on my Saturday with my wife, spending the money at the mall. I could be making money today for my wife, could have more money to spend at the mall. You understand what I'm saying? A brotherhood says, you know what, I'm going to give my day as unto the Lord. I'm going to go do something as unto God today, and I'm going to do something to help support the work of God. And then it brings blessings to all. You see, it's a joint effort. Amen. It's a joint effort on a group of brethren and a group of men. But when we think of a revelation having to go into darkness, we speak so often, we would say that, you know, we would have to consider the ministry of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the brethren of Little Bethlehem and, you know, we as a brotherhood. And we say, what is this ministry? What is the thrust of this ministry? The revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Christ. And then many times we try to get rid of the negatives. We try to get rid of the negatives and we'll never come to the image by getting rid of the negatives. Many times people think that the negatives are only there because of rebellion of God or disobedience to God. But the brothers and sisters, the thing is the fire, the purging fire has to come and purge things out of your life. And God puts things in there to bring those things forth to the altar. You understand? If nobody was provoking you to jealousy, you would never be jealous. If nobody was provoking you to wrath, you would never anger in wrath. If nobody was doing certain things to you, wouldn't understand what envy is. So God is going to put things in your midst and in your presence that's going to bring those things out of your life. That you could see those things, that they could be put on the altar of God. I've said a lot of things over the months and years about the scriptures. And the biggest mistake in Christianity is applying the scriptures to other people's life. And more people are so skilled in the Word of God to apply it to your life. Well, I learned the Word of God for I could help you line up with it. I learned the Word of God. You know how I help you line up? By walking in obedience to it. You see, Jesus, if He learned obedience by the things that He suffered, how much more than you? How about you yourself? How could He have ever showed the action of love unless He was being nailed on a cross and saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What if He was just standing there and people were showering Him with gifts and presents and thanks, you know, and giving Him all the wonderful things. And He says, oh, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. There wouldn't have been no power in that. But because of the adversity, because of the world of darkness, because of the circumstances of the pain and the agony and being nailed to a cross, and He looks down on them and He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And it brought power to that Word of God. I want to be utilized of God. I want God to use me in my life. I want to be a soul winner. It's not the Baptist way, brothers and sisters. The soul winner doesn't come in and he preach a little fancy message and the people come pouring into the altars and you say, say this prayer with me. Oh, Jesus, come into my heart. You see? And you say, well, there's a soul winner. Man, I said the sinner's prayer. I led him in a sinner's prayer. I'm a soul winner. Brothers and sisters, there's some truth in that. The Bible does say, confess with your mouth and believe in the heart. But man's heart has got to be unveiled. The son of perdition has got to be unveiled for they could roll that old stony heart aside and get it out of the way. There's going to have to be a revelation that's going to come forth even before that could come to some kind of a revelation of salvation. You see, the thing is in the frolic of the marriage relationship, you see, there's a lot more to rearing a child than that. The exuberance in the charismatic church and running and shouting, hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Lord Jesus, and crying and speaking in tongues and dancing and rolling in the floors and running across the pews and running around the church and say, man, we've got it. But see, it hasn't gone through the darkness yet. It hasn't gone through the metamorphosis. It hadn't gone through the transformation. That's just the frolic of the relationship. Hallelujah, that's the rain coming down on the just and the unjust. That's the thing, as he said last night. He said, you know, it's one thing to have the Holy Ghost with you and upon you. We go back and we think of Adam and they walked in the Shekinah glory of God. But you see, that's not what God had intended of us. It had to come inside us. It had to come within. Amen. The rivers of living water coming forth from within. You see, when it's on. The brother said last night, he said, when you walk in the revelation and it's just upon you, it evaporates. But when it's in you, it creates. What an awesome word of wisdom. And there's a lot of times people walk around and it just evaporates away. I like what Brother Pike said, talking about the man that come into the altars and he's praying to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they're laying hands on him and saying, God, fill him, God, this. And there was a little woman standing there saying, but God, he leaks. God, he leaks. Cracked cistern, the Bible talks about. A broken cistern. The woman's, he leaks. How about people that come to church, they get all inspired. Hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. Praise God. And then it leaks away. It's one thing to have the glory of God fall upon you. It's one thing to get the goosebumps. It's one thing to speak in tongues. You know, it's one thing to dance in the Spirit. It's one thing to feel the temporal thing of God. That's revelation. But it's going to have to go through the circumstance. You say, but Brother Rob, I need healing in my body. I got to receive healing. Well, it's revelation, man, that the reign of God is coming down on the just and unjust. The ministry laid hands upon you. I felt the Spirit of God move through my body. I felt the pain. I felt the circumstances, or I felt these things leave my body. And you say, hallelujah. But there's going to be tried. All of a sudden, unbelief is going to come your way. All of a sudden, that symptom's going to start coming back around to perplex your mind, saying you didn't get it. That's the negative. It's the opposite of what you was looking for. That's the negative. It's going to come around the opposite. If you're looking for pain to be gone, and all of a sudden the pain comes, that's the opposite of what you were seeking. But it's going to be forming that thing. And you're going to say, I don't receive that. And now God's going to be made strong in your weakness. His strength is going to be made manifest to you in that very thing. How would you ever know? You say, oh, I've received healing. What, was you sick? Oh, I've never been sick. I've never had no sickness. You know, I know God healed me. Well, let me tell you something. When you're sick and the sickness departs, then you could say, hallelujah, God is a healer. God is a deliverer. Amen. You see, some of you have never really been truly delivered from affliction. You haven't been delivered from the things that perplex your mind and your thoughts. You've never been delivered from those things. So you really don't carry the testimony that my God is a deliverer. If you've never been perplexed in thought and in mind with that accusing Satan continually perplexing your thoughts and your mind. Different people war with different things. Sometimes he comes and just perplexes your thoughts. You're lost. You don't have God. You don't know God. You're lost. And you know what you need to do? It's like the brother came to me. Brother George was preaching hard, preaching strong in the church. He said, you know, I could count you on one hand that have the Holy Ghost. Brother catches me out in the parking lot the next morning. He says, Brother Rob, he said, you have the Holy Ghost. I said, yes, sir. Boy, that he just didn't want to receive that. Oh, you just think too highly of yourself. You know, Brother George said there's five. What makes you think you're one of five? Yeah. You know, and he's just out of whack in his spirit. The question was presented out of spirit, and it wasn't right. But I looked at him, I said, let me tell you something, brother. I said, a demon from hell could dig his claws into my ankles, and he could be dragging me into the flames of hell, and I'm going to be testifying, Jesus Christ is my God, my salvation, my Savior, and my deliverer. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. When do you surrender to Satan? When do you surrender to his devices? And you know what? If it's salvation, right there is the feet and the hairs burning off my legs. If the salvation of the Lord comes right then, he is my salvation. He is my deliverer. Amen. And the thing is I was speaking with Brother Pike that very day about it. And he said, Brother Robbie said, that was from God. He said, that's exactly the answer that the brother needed to hear because he wasn't right with God when he asked you. Amen. So what does that mean, brothers and sisters? Does that mean we go through the world believing a lie and being damned? You know, I don't care if I'm an alcoholic, I'm going to suck down liquor, but I believe that I'm a child of God. Is that what I'm saying here? No. You're just believing a lie and you're damned. But when you're sincere with the Lord and you love God and you're doing all that you know to do and you've presented everything that you can before him, then he'll take up the slack, brothers and sisters, of the failures and the stumblings and staggerings when we're doing all that we know to do. There is no remission for willful sin. Let's read some scripture here. I want you to turn with me over to the book of James. We're going to go to the first chapter. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Let's read that again. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. Let me tell you how we as brethren that are being spoken to and addressed here, I hope you consider yourself as a brother, amen? And we count it all joy. How often do we truly do that? All of a sudden, we've come into these temptations, and we usually take these temptations and we apply them to the other individual, and we don't see joy in it. We think of the disciples as they running out of the prisons or out of the courts and rejoicing that they're going to be beaten for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They found it all joy. Was that just some kind of a phony, fictitious manifestation of something for they could get people to look at them like they're so peculiar? No, there had to have been something that had taken place in their hearts and in their lives, brothers and sisters. There had to be something that took place of a receiving of the power of God. You know, when Stephen stood before the adversary, they had were picking up rocks to stone him. You see, brothers and sisters, there was a strength and a supernatural power that came over him. See, Peter didn't have that when they were taking and dragging the Lord Jesus Christ in before the court system of the day and hour. And he was out there and they come and say, he's one of them right there. And he started cursing because they knew that the Christians or these disciples didn't curse. So he just wanted them to know for sure he wasn't one of them. So he starts cursing. And he said, "Oh, surely he must not be one of them." You see, what about when you're being tempted? What about when people come and try your salvation? Don't you know that God is going to allow this to happen? Don't you know that people that are carnal and are natural are wondering if God is real? And they're wondering if somebody in this world has the Spirit of life and the Spirit of God in them? And the only way they could know that it's God is through the tribulation. Through the tribulation of things that are happening. You don't know that he's a healer unless there's sickness to heal. You don't know if he's a deliverer unless they're being delivered from some sort of affliction of some kind. You don't know, brothers and sisters, that he's the Spirit of peace until your mind is going out of its head with some kind of frustrations and wilderness and anxieties. You don't understand what the peace of God is. You don't understand what the joy of the Lord is when there's people dropping dead all around about you and it just seems like there's no will to live. And all of a sudden you say, "Hallelujah, I found the joy of the Lord." Some of the most awesome and the most anointed songs that have ever been written have been written in times of adversity. Some of these songs about the amazing grace have been written in such turmoil times of the deliverance and of the salvation of God. When men have lost their children and their companions in the storms or whatever, and then they could write about the love of God because they never witnessed it until they found that they were so broken and so weak and so tore out of the frame, and all of a sudden they found this peace that surpasses all human understanding. And then they come to know God in those things. Brothers and sisters, you see, the thing is, when the people of this world are looking for salvation, when they came and tempted Jesus Christ, they wanted to see if he was different than every other man. Don't you know these things are going to come to you as Christians? Don't you know that you're not justified to act like them when they provoke you? If a man on your job site is provoking you to break your spirit, don't you know that you're being nailed on the cross right then and being crucified in that present day and hour? Don't you know that it was the preparation from God to allow that to happen, that there's other people that are looking at the circumstance right then, that they could see Christ being formed within your life? Paul said that he travailed until Christ was formed in you. Don't you know that there's going to be a travail, brothers and sisters, to bring an increase into the kingdom of God? There has to be a travail. And the thing is God is going to bring this into your life. He's going to allow people to be in your face. They're going to call you a liar. They're going to speak all manner of evil against you. They're going to be your enemies. And you have to love them and smile and do good to them. And then people could say, "There's something different about that brother. There's something different." You see, you're no different when you answer fire with fire, anger with anger, malice with malice. You're no different than them. There's no salvation in you. They're not going to be compelled to the cross of Calvary. But when you're silent before the slaughter, if there was ever a just man, it was the Son of Man. If there was ever a just man, it was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting in human flesh. If there was ever one that walked the earth that was just, it was him. And they lied. If anybody would have had a reason to stand up and say, "There's no truth in you." If anybody could have stood in defense, it was him. But he chose not to. Why? Was he guilty of the allegations? Was he a drunkard when they accused him of so? Was he the devil when they called our God, our Savior, our salvation, and called him a devil? Was he? No. Why didn't he defend himself? Because they wanted them to know that that human part had been sacrificed and done away with and no longer lived. And it was a manifestation of the love of God coming forth. And when you've got the agony of the nails being driven through your hand, it could say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That's a manifestation of the love of God. You see, brothers and sisters, when the Bible teaches us right here, and we said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." You see, you know that until these things come, are we going to go out looking for these things? Hey, I heard there's a tornado warning over in such and such county. Let's run over there before we can show everybody that we're sons of God. But you know, some of the testimonies of some of the great things that we've heard even about Brother Pike is when the tornado was coming out across the ground and it's getting ready to come across the highway and stands in front of the church holding his hands up, rebuking the storm. And it picks up and goes over the church and lands on the other side and destroys another man that was contrary to the ministry and destroyed everything he had. You see, in the storm, God showed himself. Many times we're in the storms of life. We read the stories about Jesus being in the boat, asleep, and everybody else is frantic for their lives, scared to death. We're going to perish out here. And the Lord says, oh, ye of little faith. He took advantage, we can say, of the adversity of the storm. And he spoke peace, and the storm was calmed. So many times, brothers and sisters, we're guilty when the storms of life come of getting in a frantic in the storm. We get all freaked out, so to speak, in the storm. I lived in Oklahoma, and Sandy was a little baby. I believe Stephanie was born also. And Robert, she says. Okay, I had all three of them at that time. Not all four yet, but three. We had the tornado siren for the whole town I lived in was in my backyard. I could say it was in my master bedroom. But it was in my backyard. Literally, the pole went right up in my backyard. And I don't know, they test that thing like once a week or once a month, whatever it was, at noon in the daytime. You know, maybe this is a confession of, you know, I'm just a sissy. I don't know what you say, but I don't care if the sun was shining and it was 12 noon and wasn't a cloud in the sky and that thing would come on and my hair would stand up on the back of my neck. It was just eerie sounding. And it was so loud because it was for the whole town. It was so loud. If I had Brother Randall sitting right there and the thing was going off, I'd say, hey, you know, we got to get in a storm cellar. All he would see is he wouldn't heard nothing. That's how loud it was. And it was an eerie sound. You know, and this thing, man, went off one night. I don't know what time it was. In the middle of the night, it went off. I don't think I ever saw the floor in my house. I think that I went from my bed and translated all the way out to the storm cellar. And man, I'm opening up the door of the storm cellar and the rain is coming down in bucket loads. And a thought came to me. Hey, you big dummy. You got children and a wife in the house. You see, I was in the midst of the storm and I panicked. So I had to go back and get the family. And they was all wide awake except Cassandra. When they measure sound in decimals, yeah, she slept through it. I guess she was like the Lord Jesus in the midst of the storm. Woke up, oh, Dad, what's wrong with you? But you see, brothers and sisters, as a confession, you know, I could have got up with peace. Brother George said when he was over in Israel, the Lord told him to go over there in the midst of the desert storm. And he said the sirens would go off in town, man, and everybody's got to pull on their gas mask. He said, Sister Betty's running around in this motel room, but frantic and, you know, looking for the gas mask. And he's over there just praying, calm as could be. He said, hey, everything's all right. Well, you got to put your mask on. He said, no, it's all right. He was walking in a peace, brothers and sisters. He wasn't being motivated by the circumstance into the perspective. You see, you say peace. Why was there a peace there? Because it was something that was cultivated through the adversities of the years. When other people would panic and he would never be so calm. You know, we could step out of the realms of the supernatural for a moment. And we could talk about a person hurt. A limb ripped off or sliced open. The medical doctor comes up all calm. And he starts administering. Where somebody else is just panicking. You see, a medical doctor could have walked in, hey, it's okay. And just been real calm. And see, many times in the things of God, this is what happens to us. We panic. And when we need to walk in that peace of God. But see, you would never understand the peace. I remember sharing a story with you. Was fellowshipping with Brother Pike down in the basement. And he was just talking about the things of God. I couldn't tell you what he was talking about, but it was a wonderful, beautiful things of God. And we were just caught away into a heavenly rapture in the time and in the moment of being caught away into heavenly thought. Beautiful things, man. And I walked out of his presence. He was getting ready to go in the house, and I'm walking up across the church grounds. We had our cars parked up in the upper parking lot. Walking out across there, and one of these brethren come out around there, and boy, and he is tore out of the frame. Brother Rob, it's over, man. Bethlehem's done, man. You just don't know what's going on around here. And he's just absolutely. And I remember as God helping me to understand what I was witnessing. And here's a man that's just tore out of the frame. His world's just distraught. Everything's over. It's done. Everything I thought was right and beautiful and true, it's just dissolving. It's going away. It's failing. It's the end of the world. That's the way his thoughts were. And I'm standing there in this perfect peace, man. Just left the presence of the awesome revelation of the Lord. And I'm thinking, God, could it ever get better than this? But you see, what was the difference between him and I? What was the difference? Was just simply one thing, a state of mind. What was the difference when Jesus wakes up in the boat and he says, "Oh, ye of little faith," and rebukes them? And the ones that are frantic in the boat, what was the difference? It was a state of mind. As I spoke the other night, I could take a 4x4 and put it down across the floor here. And there's not probably anybody in here that couldn't get it and just walk down it. Right on the floor, but you put it up 20 feet in the air. Whoa. And you're shaking and everything else. What's the difference? Well, there's a lot of difference. It's a state of mind. See, if you could have the same state of mind as you walked on that floor, you could have it up there and you'd be just as safe walking on it up there. You'd be just as safe. But you see, it's this fear that you let grip you. Perfect love casteth out fear. But it's the fear that you let motivate you and grip you. And it's simply a state of mind. And brothers and sisters, there's going to be things that come in your life of adversities and things that you're going to have to get a hold of. And get a hold and see the negative of it and why it's there, that you can bring forth the image. When the woman's in the travail to bring forth the child, and she's laboring intensely, and the pain ever seems more than she could bear. And she's right in the midst of that. But see, there's getting ready to come a creation forth from the travail. You see the bliss of the revelation, the bliss of the marriage relationship. But it's got to go beyond that. There's many times the marriage relationship that the seed of life has not gone forth. The cycle of the woman wasn't there at the right time to receive that life. But when everything lines up, then there's going to come forth a creation of that life. And again, as many times in the church services, the bliss of the relationship, the power of God, the Spirit of the Lord, and the gifts of God, the rains coming down. Hallelujah, praise God. And then it's going to come forth some travail. What does the Bible speak about? Is it trying to teach us when to farm and what kind of soil to farm in? You know, it's important for the farmer to know that there's got to be preparation of the soil before he plants. But the Lord was talking about the preparation of a man's heart. And he talked about this seed that come up and sprung forth because it was not no taproot and it shot immediately up. Instead of the seed putting a force down into the ground to get a good rooting, it shot up immediately. That's like a young minister wanting to manifest himself. He don't got his good taproot things down in. He's not really grounded good. A lot of hardness still around him in that thing. But boy, they spring up real quick. Here I am, praise God, the evangelist. Here I come, world. You understand what I'm saying? Here I am, the great mighty man of God. Brother Arthur been there. Listen to some of his testimonies about being in a meeting and the anointing of God fell so strong and people are being set free and delivered. But it's my turn to preach tonight. God, what are you doing? This meeting's out of order. People are praying and falling out on the floor and people are doing this, but it's my turn to preach. And a minister walked up and put his hand on him and said, "Young man, don't you know when the anointing of God is moving?" He said that he could have sliced his throat. He said it made him so angry that he said he could have sliced his throat. He said he never hated anybody as much as he hated that minister to come up with some kind of a way to come to him and say, "Don't you understand the move of God and the anointing?" You see, Brother Arthur was still alive. Brother Arthur was still living. He didn't get out of the way and let God have his way. You see, brothers and sisters, That's where growth comes in. When the man of God said last night that love is made into love, so to speak, in the divorce court. Two young people wanted to get married. Oh, I love you. The man looks at the little gal. I love you. She looks at him. I love you. Has the love ever really been made manifest? Has it been tried? No. But you see, they're on the ground breaking. And the thing is that love can be made manifest in adversities. A mother shows her love for the kids when she's dealing with them and helping them and caressing them when they're sick and when they're weak and when there's problems. The love of a mother is going to come in. And all of a sudden, see, love is being created and made manifest and made known through the circumstances that are around and about. That love is going to be made known. And you'll never know that love until there's something. You wouldn't have known the love of God unless he was being nailed on the cross. You wouldn't understand the resurrection unless he was put to death. And some of you don't understand the present day resurrection because you haven't been put to death. You haven't died. Too much you. You know, you see, when you're talking about the realm of light and the realm of darkness, and you see there's children of darkness and there's children of light. And the thing is that when you get into the middle realm there, there's a twilight area. I remember Brother Pike speaking one time and he said, you know, the worst and the most dangerous time to be driving a vehicle is at sunset. He said, because it's transitioning from light to darkness. And in that twilight realm, a lot of things haven't happened yet. Your eyes haven't fully adjusted. There's still enough light on the horizon that your eyes are still adjusted to that light, but then the things in your presence are in a realm of darkness. People could come out in front of you and you wouldn't see it, as if it was just at night when you've already adjusted over and you're looking for the car lights or whatever. And see, it's a dangerous time when we look at it in the realms of a person that's born in darkness and they're transforming over into light. There's a very dangerous crossing over right there. You see, and it's where it's going to be made or broken. It's either going to be the son of perdition being revealed and manifested and done away with by the God or by you surrendering him. When we get into the scriptures and the word, we can go into the scriptures and read here about the Antichrist. And we could talk about the Antichrist. And most teaching in most of our churches teach the Antichrist as something to come. Most churches are teaching that we're waiting on the return of the Lord Jesus. They're both just as dangerous of a doctrine. And they're both the truth, but they're dangerous doctrine. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world, brothers and sisters. Now, I brought that out in the second heavenly sense of the physical dimension and this earthen vessel, this worldly garment. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. It is waiting for the metamorphosis. It is waiting for that transfiguration. Amen? When it is partakers of that, then the mortal's gone and immortality has swallowed it up. The light has eradicated the darkness. The body's being changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The body's gone through the change. You see, and yes, this body, when it ages and it goes through the things, yeah, this yearning and longing for that. But when we look in the worldly sense, yes, they're talking about the returning of God. But they've missed him. They missed the returning of the Lord. They didn't see good when good come. They didn't have ears to hear when he was speaking. They didn't have eyes to see when he was walking. And he still is. Now we're speaking of the Antichrist. We say that if you cannot believe that God is, if you cannot believe that God is in the flesh, if you cannot believe that God is in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. And the Bible goes on to say that there's minty Antichrist among you. But then yet the churches and the theologians and the doctors and the master degrees and all of them are saying, oh yes, he's going to come out of Syria. He's going to come from over here. But we've got the Father. We've got the Word. We've got the Holy Ghost. We got the false prophet. We got Satan. We got Lucifer. Brothers and sisters, Listen, when we think of the Antichrist, we don't need to look at him in the future. We don't need to look at him in the past. We need to know that he is present. He's alive. He is well. He is very deviceful. He is going to deceive. And we need to learn to recognize him when he comes. We need to know him when he speaks. We need to be able to try the Spirit and see if it be of God. When the Antichrist speaks, it's God speaking, the God of this world. When Peter was rebuked for savoring the things that would be of the flesh. And like I said, I guarantee I can say, thus saith the Lord to this. Listen to me. I'm saying, thus saith the Lord to every individual in my presence right now. Every individual in this church. Every single one of you. The Lord Jesus Christ would have said to every single one of you, including myself, get ye behind me, Satan. Oh, Brother Rob, I don't believe that. I'm spiritual. Bless God. He had never said that to me. How many of you right now in the state of mind of thought that you're in, right now at this very moment, and the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting next to you, and he says, son, I'm going to Jerusalem. And they're going to kill me. But Lord, I love you. They're going to take me. And they're going to beat me. To a point that I won't even be recognized. And they're going to take me to the cross of Calvary. They're going to take and crucify me. The most hideous kind of death that you could die. And the most degrading. That's what they've done with the thieves and the murderers. And they're going to take you, God. God, we're not going to let this happen to you. Oh, God, we're not, surely not. We're not going to let this happen to you. And God spoke to him and said, get ye behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of the flesh. And there you are in your Christianity in this present day. God says, you know what? You're going to be abused. You're going to suffer. God says, you're going to be persecuted. He said, this fire is going to come down from heaven and it's going to purge you. Oh, surely not. We're not going to let that happen. I'm a good guy. I'm a nice guy. Hey, I'm doing good to everybody. Well, wasn't Jesus? Did he do good to everybody? Did he feed everybody? Where do you think that you're going to get out of this realm, brothers and sisters, of travail? Out of the realm of warfare? Out of the realm of the light being formed within the darkness. Where are you going to bypass that? You're not. You are not going to bypass it. Brothers and sisters, the cross is in the second heaven. The cross is in the soul realm. The cross is in the transformation realm. And the thing is you're going to transform through the way that you think. The Bible said that you're more than a conqueror. And if you're more than a conqueror, that means you have the ability to conquer. And you don't know that you're a conqueror unless you're conquering something. And the biggest obstacle in your life to conquer is you, the son of perdition. In your first birth, quit looking for the devil. Quit looking for him to come on the horizon. Quit looking for him to raise up over in Syria. Quit looking for him, you know, to come on the television through some bloodthirsty evangelist. Quit looking for him that way. Start looking for him that is manifested in your own mind, in your own thoughts, and in your own life. Look for him when he's telling you that you cannot and you will not. And you start needing to look at him and saying, let me tell you something, devil. Let me tell you something. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God. Hallelujah. And he has equipped me with the full armor of God. And you are not going to take advantage of me, nor violate me, or utilize this vessel. This is the vessel of the living God. And he is going to live and dwell and have his way and have his means in this life. And I am not for sale. I'm not going to share it with you. And how many of you sold out to Satan? How many of you sold out for popularity? How many of you sold out because you want to be lifted up? Don't you know that it's going to come to you? Like Brother Randall said, you know, there is a time to give honor. But when the honor's coming that you can, yeah. Whew. Yeah, that's a good message. Yep. Got much revelation.
Yep. I listen to more Brother George tapes than any of you. I listen to Brother Branham, too. Oh, yep. Cock-a-doodle-doo. That's what he said. Brothers and sisters, am I saying to stay away from listening to Brother Pike or Brother Branham or any of them people? No! Brothers and sisters, let the son of perdition be revealed in your life, the one that's wanting glory, the one that's wanting honor, the one that wants recognition. He has to be the preeminent one. He has to be the one receiving the recognition. He has to be the one receiving the glory. And when you get in the way of the glory of that, it's like the old brother said last night. He said that's when God lets loose of it. And you're on your face. The haughty spirit comes before the fall. When you're haughty, the Lord lets go. When you're full of pride, the Lord lets go. Well, I can do it. I was trained by the best of them. You're going to fall. Praise God for great men of God like Brother George, that we could see the example of the life of Christ manifesting in the earth. But we say, hey, this way he done it, this way I'm going to do it. If you don't have that spirit of revelation in you, and it is being made manifest through the travails, then there's no strength. You know, in the seven sons of Sceva, I bring it to an example so often. They say, I adjure you, Satan, get you behind me. Hey, Paul, I know. Jesus, I do know who that is. But who are you? And they overpowered him. And they overpowered him. One man overpowered all seven of them and whipped them and ripped their clothes off of them. Why did they rip their clothes off of them and leave them laying there? Why? Because it was a manifestation to show that they did not have the wedding garment on or they did not have the full armor of God on. That's why. And many times people, they have a tendency, and it looks like they got the weapons, but there's no ammunition in it. They say the right things, but there's no virtue in it. Virtue, brothers and sisters, comes by holiness, comes by separation, comes by dying out. That's when the virtue of God comes in and made known and made alive. And many times when the God is trying to cultivate you into being a child of the living God and a pillar in the house of God, that Christ could be made manifest in your life, that you take and run from the adversity and you make the adversity the other person's problem. Do you understand that? It's easy to make it their problem. Here's Jesus on the cross. Look at these wretched people. They don't support the house of God. They're drunkards. They're harlots. He knew everything of every one of them. There's murderers and thieves screaming out, crucify them. He could have looked at him and said, I'm the living God. I am the creation of all things and the creator of all things. And nothing was made invisible or visible that I didn't make. He could have said that. And many times you boast, but I'm a Christian. I don't have to put up with this. I've lived right. I've done right. We're hitting home. Say oh me or amen, amen. Amen, oh me. Hallelujah. You know why Brother Rob preaches like this? Because I've been there. Jesus said, I got these nail prints in the house of my friends. Brothers and sisters, it's one thing for some drunk, some heathen out there, man, to crucify you, to spit in your face, to call you wretched. But when you're in the house of your friends, the people that you love, and you smile, say, I love you. Then Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ is at hand. The revelation isn't memorization. The revelation isn't the mysteries of God. The revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ in the adversities of your life. And until he's made and revealed the attributes of God in your life, you could talk about revelation. You could talk about mysteries. You could talk about allegories. You could talk about types and shadows. You could type everything out. You could talk about what this world leader means and what he's doing and what he's done. You could talk about what's going to happen and make predictions through your revelations and through your allegories and through your types and shadows, but it profits you nothing until Jesus Christ is revealed in your life and made known and he comes alive, amen, and you no longer live. Then we've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you say, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. Lord, I want to be a soul winner. Oh, God, the Bible says that to be a soul winner, there has to be this wisdom. And either when souls are wise. Oh, God, I want to be a soul winner. Well, then get ready to get on the cross. Amen. Oh, but Jesus done that. There's no need for me to get on the cross. Jesus already did that. You need to go and read the book. Paul said that he travailed until Christ be formed in you. Jesus had already been crucified. Then if it was already and he'd done it all for us, brothers and sisters, why did they drag Peter out? Why did they take Stephen and stone him to death? For Christ could be made known in this present day and hour. That the God, this God of all creation, could be manifested in his body. The whole church will agree on one thing, brothers and sisters, that we are the body of Christ. And the Bible talks about a present day crucifixion. Take up your cross and follow me. Why did he want us to take up the cross? For you could have it with you at all times, for you could be nailed on it, that people could know that you are their salvation. You say, oh gosh, Brother Rob, you was doing fine until that. You were doing all right until you got to that. Well, if you're no longer living and you've been crucified on that thing, then who's living? Their salvation. Who is their salvation? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, come on, Brother Rob. You can't say that. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The Bible said, if I die with him, I raise with him. And I must first die. The seed must go into the ground and die. You know what? You see, if you go and look at natural death and the way people fear natural death. You know, he's like, oh, he's having a bad time. I'm going to kill myself. Got the gun. And then just, I mean, it's like, whoa. You ever seen them two magnets? You try to put them together and they go all this way. Every time the barrel of that gun, if a guy's got any sanity left whatsoever at all, it just don't want to line up with that head. You know what I'm saying? Oh, come on, come on. The one that witnessed my brother when he took his life, they said he just threw the gun up real fast. Didn't have time to think about it. Just bam. You know, it wasn't like, okay, here we go, 1, 2, 3. You see, there's a preservation in you, naturally speaking, that's going to preserve life. Oh, I just can't do it. There's been many people with a gun barrel in their mouth and their thumb on the trigger, and they're shaking, and they just can't get the nerve to pull it. Preservation of life. And it's that same preservation of life when Jesus says that you must take that life and you must be crucified and you must give your life and you must lose your life to save it. And that same preservation said, well, wait a minute. Bless God, I'm a man. Bless God, I've made my way. Bless God, I've earned my way. I pay my own way. I've got my own businesses. I've got this and I'm going to do what I want to do. You're a devil. Boy, you can't talk to me like that. I just did. Where in Christianity is there room for that? That's what's got to go on the altar to be consumed by the fire. He said there's no fire if there's nothing on the altar. Some of you haven't experienced the purging fire of God because you haven't put anything on the altar. Put your life there. That's what's got to be there is your life. Brothers and sisters, the thing is there's something that in man, it's in humanity. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. I could preach this and never be so accurate because I was born as a man with the sins of death and it's appointed unto me once to die and the judgment of a living God. So the thing is if all men's hearts are fashioned alike, I understand you well. I've been in the same travails, the same warfares. I've walked down that road and I know where the victory's at. I know where it's at. Jesus could have turned off the road of Dolorosa. He could have turned and not taken that human flesh side to the cross of Calvary. But there was no victory for us if he didn't. There was no conquering of death unless he did that. The carnal mind is death, brothers and sisters, and it has to be done away with. It's enmity with God. And the thing is, he brought this dimension in a manifestation in the physical perspective. You've got to take this thing, this body, and let it be crucified with him and resurrected him in faith. And you think, wow, that's sure much easier, Brother Rob. Let me tell you something. You say something like that, and I'll tell you why you say something like that. Because you haven't been there. I remember because of my disobediences when I was at Bethlehem. And I found that I was at the chastening post of the Almighty God. And it was tough. It was a travail, brothers and sisters. I mean a travail. And I said, Brother George, I said, if I could go out there to that telephone pole and put my arms around it and take my stripes upon my back, I said, that would be much easier than what I'm going through. And he said, I've been there, Brother Rob. He said, I've been there. You see, he's a man of God. He'd already been there. Jesus went there for us. He'll give us the strength to bear those stripes. But you know, there's a time that we've got to travail in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, that others could have salvation. There's sometimes that fleshly man has got to go through that, brothers and sisters, to bring life in the Spirit. If you're more than a conqueror, it's going to conquer those human emotions. The human flesh is going to conquer all that. This is why we have to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. This is why we got to walk in the Spirit, not by our own might, our own desires, our own wants. When your ministry tells you where you're going to be, where you're going to preach, and where you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, it ain't the ministry of God. I asked Brother Arthur, I said, when are you coming back to the U.S.? He says, man, I got no idea. He said, I don't have no ministry. I done put that on the altar. I don't know where God's sending me next. It's okay to make itineraries, Brother George said. If the brethren want to make an itinerary for me to preach in Israel or to preach in Africa, let them make it. I'm waiting on God to tell me where I'm going. You see, many times, brothers and sisters, people, they get weary in well-doing because they're doing it in their own might. Their ministry efforts and their endeavors are in their own might, their own power, their own ideas, their own desires. And they're doing these things, and then they get weary and shipwrecked, and they're double-minded, and they're going this way today and that way tomorrow, and they're unstable in all their ways, the Bible says, like a man running and beating at the air. It's because they never gave their life on the altar, and they never died. You see, as I've said in the camp meeting last year, I said, rest. The Lord kept speaking to me, rest, rest, rest. You know, when a minister enters into the rest of God, you know how he does that? Because he's in the rest, because it's his labors. It's his travails. It's his ministry. Oh, but God, if they bring the little crippled boy up, what if he's not healed? They're going to look at you like, oh, you don't got faith. What if the sick isn't made well? What if they don't get delivered? Oh, man, you know, I don't know. You see, you ain't entered into the rest of the Lord. If you enter into the rest of God, brother, sister, then you're going to know that it has nothing to do with you. I can't rip my vocal cords out of my throat and set them up here and walk out of the church and this thing's going to talk to you. Hey, man, let me tell you about the revelation. It don't work that way. Brother Arthur was speaking about the body last night. And he said, you know, hey, the foot, it can't say I have no need. The Bible talks about this. It can't say it has no need of the hand or no need of the eye. The eye sure needs the foot to get it over there for it can see what's around the corner. You ever see a body that isn't in control? That it ain't hooked up with the brain? You know, this foot's going that way, that foot's going that way. You know, it just ain't getting nowhere. Let me tell you, I spent many years of my early years of being called into the ministry trying to fool God. He never told me what kind of ministry I would be involved in. He never told me what I would do. Sometimes we get ideas, oh yes, I'm going to be the great one. I'm going to be the man. You know, people are going to war with these things. I'm going to be the next Billy Sunday. You know, I never warred with that. But you know, they get ideas, brother, of what they think they're going to be or what they're going to do. And the thing is all God wanted me to say is, God, here I am. I'll give you my life. Simply, that's it. He wasn't going to tell me what aspect, what I was going to be doing. He wasn't going to bring me peace or nothing until I said, God, here I am. Take my life. But see, Brother Rob Coons was still alive. He had a love for aviation, had a love for working on airplanes, had a love of education. and wanted to learn. Man, I just loved to learn anything. I didn't care what it was. Man, there was something in my heart that, man, if somebody was doing something, I wouldn't know. I was in the guy that I'm named after. And I was young, just getting into the career in aviation. And my father and I sitting in this man's house. I already knew the man building airplanes. I mean, he had airplanes out in the air, they're out sitting on the ramp that flew. He had some hanging on the walls and different things. And the guy building airplanes. You know, that's the way I knew him. And we're sitting in his house one day, and a conversation came, and he said he built the house. And all of a sudden, I started looking at the house. I don't think I'd ever ran a skill saw in my life at that time. I was in another world. I wasn't in the world of carpentry or construction. I didn't have any really interest over there in them realms. Never really thought about it. But I'm looking at this house in another way, and I said, "You're kidding me. You built this house?" And I remember how he looked at me. He thought like, "Well, yeah, sure, there ain't nothing to that." You know, hey, I can make an airplane fly. I can take a bunch of pipes and burn them together, rub some old fabric around on it and shrink it a little bit, hang an engine on it, turn the prop and fly it. What's wrong? You know, why can't I build a house? But see, it was a different realm of thought for me. You see, and then all of a sudden I found a desire. You know, thinking, wait a minute. How come people go through life and they think, well, this is what I am? I want to be all things to all people, whatever God would make me to be. But let's go back to this story. I won't try to keep you too long. Brothers and sisters, you see, there's many times I could say this. It all is going to go to a thought of whatever you think you are. That's what you are. But then, yeah, you could believe a lie and be damned, and you think you're something when you're nothing. Well, where is this manifestation at? It's in the circumstance. It's in the travail. You'll be proven in the fire. And when the fire comes and you fail, then you're being burned out with the chaff. But when you stand in the fire, the impurities are burned away and you're tried as of by fire and you come out in the purity of a living God. That's the body of Christ. The thing is, brothers and sisters, you're going to have to learn to know God in the travail, in the fire, in the tribulation. And until you know him there, then you're in weakness. Let the weak say that he is strong. When you found yourself weak in the human flesh, when you find that there's nothing you could do with your skills, with your abilities, with medical science, with medications, then you found yourself in a real weak way. See, you're not weak when the doctor gives you and prescribes you this. You're not weak when you could do this or you could do that. But when you really taste of weaknesses, and all of a sudden you say, I don't even have the arm of the flesh to lean to. Sometimes people lean on the strength of the love of a brotherhood. And they come into the brotherhood and the pastor works with them, helps them, leads them, guides them, supports, and does things. But then one day, as that mother eagle says, wait a minute. I've been flying and bringing you provision. I've been flying and bringing you the provisions. And one day he says, look at that. I could see that them wing muscles are starting to grow. I could see that them muscles in them wings are starting to mature. I see them feathers starting to come out. And they may not like it, but one day mama kicks them. Oh, that wretched mother. I can't believe she done that to me. As they're tumbling down the cliffside. I can't believe it. But one day they're going to pop them wings out there. And the Bible says they mount up with wings like an eagle. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you think, where's the love of God in the brethren? Look what I'm going through. How come nobody sees it? How come nobody's coming to my assistance? How come nobody's helping me? Where's the love of God? And it's the love of God that's saying, let them be perfected in tribulation. Let them be tried in the fire. Let them produce the fruit of salvation that others could see Christ in their life. And there's a drawing unto him. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you really want to be a soul winner? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to be one? Finish a story. I say back in the early years, you know, all God wanted me to say is, Okay, Lord, here I am. But no, I'm going to fool God. But God, I still want to be a pilot. God, I still want to be an aircraft mechanic. God, I like what I'm doing. You know, Lord, I'm pretty good at it. And I'm thinking, well, I'll flatter him a little bit. You know, God, I know I wouldn't be a very good airplane mechanic unless you made me this way. You know, oh, God, you've gifted me. You know, oh, God, I thank you for the skill and the ability. You think you're going to play games with God like that? There should be thankfulness, brothers, when you got skills and abilities. You should not magnify your education and your schooling. You should magnify God, that he gave you understanding and opened up your understanding. There's people that try to do some of those things that can't. But you know what the thing is I thought, okay, Lord, all right. I can see you're calling me, but this is the way we're going to do it. This is the present day wife, brothers and sisters. Yeah, I'll marry you, but I'm going to control the house. Some of these wimps need that. They do, Brother Randall, they do. Some of them, that sounds terrible, say something. Some of them need that. They need to submit to that because it's just a manifestation of what they are. Oh, now we're going to open up another whole sermon topic. We're not going to get out of here till 1 o'clock. I can see it now. But you see a woman that says, yeah, I'll marry you, but it's on my terms, on my conditions. That brother better run. Lord, I'll be a minister. I'll preach the gospel, but this is the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to fly airplanes on the week. I'll make some money, and then I'll go do it. He allowed me to do some of that for a season as he was transforming my mind and helping me in the travails. Father and I was talking about this the other day. Being in a very lucrative, in the early stages of this aviation business, I remember my dad was over at a friend's house, and we were sitting at the table, and he said, son, he said, we've been offered, I think it was $2 or $3 million for the patents and the royalties and the prototype things for these people to take this and go put it to work. Or he said, we got the option to travail and we'll go through and build this business and build these airplanes and take them out and use them. Well, let's do that. And proved. My father proved that he was right and went out and made more money with utilizing these things. But there was a problem. Jonah was on board. God had a calling in my life. I didn't know it. Didn't understand it. But you see, there was some things being said in the concrete that were going to hinder me from being where God would have me to be at. God could blow on a multi-million dollar business overnight and it's gone. It don't matter how much wisdom you got, how skilled you are, how successful you are. And don't matter how many attorneys you got on your team that have got everything in order. It doesn't matter about those things. When God sees that it's in the way of him, he's going to remove it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. When a wife that is married unto a minister of the gospel and she cannot submit to the will of God in his life, God will remove her. He's going to break her first. Do you understand that? He'll break her. And the thing is the woman that I could be speaking about is Brother Rob Coons in his first birth, showing the feminine gender and the perspective of the bride of Christ, saying, hey, I'm going to do it my way. Lord, I know the Bible says that you're the husband and that I've got to submit to you. But let me tell you just a minute. You gave me a good mind of understanding and I've read my Bible. And this is the way I think I'm going to do it. And this is where I'm going to do it at. And this is how I'm going to do it. He says, okay, so be it. Go for it. And you'll be just like the rest of them out there. And he'll let you go. And you'll be operating in your own might and in your own power and within your own skills of the Word of God. We had a minister here not long back like that. Boy, he could quote the Word. And he could talk about the Word and go, wow. And you'd suck it up. There's people that go to church and they stick up their hands and... You say, Brother Rob, be careful. You might mock God. Hey, let me tell you, God's not mocked. Let me tell you, I've had God do that to me. And I shook so hard. My hand raised to God. I thought I was going to come out of my shoes. And I shook. I couldn't make myself shake like that. There was an unreal shaking. I don't know any natural means to explain to you what happened to me, honest to God. And the only thing that comes to mind is that I remember the Lord bringing me back to that cartoon as a child. And that coyote took them earthquake pills and he stood there for a minute and his toes started going, pow, 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 pow. And then his foot started banging like that. And then it went through his legs and his body and this guy about shook out of his fur. And I mean, he was a jackhammer and shaking. You was there, wasn't you, Irene? And was that a pretty good analogy, what happened to me? I couldn't do that. So I'm not mocking God when I talk about that. And when we speak like this, we're not speaking against God. Because let me tell you something. God could do things to let you know that you are not the sovereignty. And that you are not in control. He'll bring you to places to let you know that you better depend on Him and trust Him. I've had Him put me on the floor. I've seen a lot of people fall on the floor many times by the power of God, many times not. But I've had Him put me on the floor when nobody's around and I could not pick myself up. Okay, God, why are you doing this to me? You know, am I paralyzed for the rest of my life, God? Are you going to leave me to here to rot? Am I gone? I couldn't move my head. I couldn't move my feet. I couldn't move my legs. I thought, well, surely I could pick up my head, and I could not. Why, God? He wanted me to know that He is the supreme of all power and all authority, and He could pick you up and He could put you down. And there ain't no place in your human understanding, in your skills and your abilities, with your elegance of speech, your superior wisdom, your revelations, your mysteries, there's nowhere that you stand to take the glory from a living God. You always give Him the glory and you give Him the honor and you give Him the praise, amen, for all things. If you got a good marriage, you say, praise God for giving my wife a heart of subjection and submission, and that I have a heart of subjection and submission to you. God, I could not have a good marriage lest it be for you. If you got a good business, you say, glory be to God. He raised me up, hallelujah, and He makes my day and He makes my way, amen. And we've all been to the places that He could blow on your substance and stop you. It's like the man that robbed me for over $8,000 down there in Georgia. And I remodeled his house and I done all those things. And he went over to the pastor that was there at the time after Brother Pike's passing. And he said, I don't know what I've done to grieve God. But he said, I've done something. He said, I had a good successful business in this town and I can't even buy a job. He shouldn't have robbed the child of God, is what he shouldn't have done. God put a stop on his blessings and put a stop on his business because he robbed God. Amen. What you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you do unto me, the Bible says. You say, hey, preacher, your 30 minutes was up about an hour ago. I never was given no timetable. And you never was given a timetable of how long you had to sit here. Amen. Because, man, your car, you got a key to it, the door's not locked. And amen. And we'll just have church. Hallelujah. I'll stay here all day if the Lord tells me to. I was standing when you were sitting. I was standing when you were singing. And I'm still standing. And I don't have one iota of weakness in my knees. Amen. And my feet don't hurt. My back's not sore. And it ain't this $200 mat I'm standing on. Amen. Because I don't think about this guy. I tell you, I've come back down from the sacred desk, man. And I stop and all of a sudden I go, oh gosh. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. It didn't bother me at all when I was up there, man. But all of a sudden, I found things hurting and aching. But But you know what? I want to give this body, and I'm going to rejoice in every ache and every pain as I'm giving my labors unto the Lord. If I go out and labor to help a brother build a house like we did over there in Mexico or whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. And when my hands hurt at the night or my back hurts or my feet hurt, I'm going to say, hallelujah, Lord God. I found pain in this whole body for the reason I was doing something for you today. Amen. Hallelujah. You're all going to spend your body on something. You're going to be spent on something. And you could spend it on worldly domain and worldly riches and worldly things. Or you could spend it doing something for the kingdom of God. And He'll add blessings to you on this side. And He'll surely put them on the other. Amen. Are you done yet? I never got started. Okay. Is the Lord done yet? Well, let's say that He is. Okay, we'll say, can we all say amen to that? So be it, He's done. Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, I've yielded myself over to God and said, Lord, speak to the people. They're your people. I can't do nothing for them. You are their king. You are the king of all kings. You are their God. You are their salvation. You are their deliverer. Lord, here I am. Just use me. So now it's my turn. Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me from my human reasoning and carnality? Who is going to help me conquer this travail and this warfare in my mind and my thoughts? Oh God, am I going to make it? Oh God, if it's only by your mercy, by your grace. Lord God, it's by your long suffering, your mercy, the only chance I've got. So you don't want to hear a message like that, do you? You say, man, you don't need to talk like that. I don't. That's why I keep my mouth shut up here and let Him minister to you. Amen. And He speaks in things that are not and brings them into an existence. He brings revelation, and it's going to take you through the darkness and through the womb and through the circumstance that you can receive the creation of that revelation. Amen. And it'd be Christ formed in you and the hope of glory and that salvation of God, that it could be Him living and no longer you living. Amen. So when that guy tries to speak, I got to make him shut up. The Bible says, woman, silent in the church. Woman, shut your mouth. That's why Brother Rob's got to shut his mouth. The bride of Christ got to shut his mouth and let Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, speak and have His way. Hallelujah. That was a good short sermon. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. You love the Lord. I like coming to church. Brothers and sisters, I want to spend my life for God. I want to give every breath, every fiber, everything I got. I mean that. I find myself involved in other activities and other things, but I still got His eternal kingdom on my mind. If I'm working, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. The Bible says labor that you have to give. And when I'm laboring, brothers and sisters, I'm laboring that I have to give up my life. You know, when a minister's not ministering the gospel because he doesn't think he has the provisions, it's because he's not giving. And what I'm meaning by giving, you start giving your life to the Lord and making yourself available on the jobs and making yourself available in the supermarkets or the marketplace, wherever you're at, you making yourself available and start giving of your time, start giving of your substance and everything that you've got, then God's going to recognize that and He's going to raise you up, amen? And He'll make a way. He'll provide. But sometimes, again, is we don't see the provisions because we haven't gone. So what are you saying? What do I have to do to go, Brother Rob? When I leave this church today, I'm going as unto the Lord. When I drive to the market, I'm going as unto the Lord. You say, were you sent? I've been sent by God to minister God's word. It doesn't matter if I'm on an asphalt job, on a tile job, on a plumbing job. It doesn't matter if I'm on a paint job. I'm going as unto the Lord to do something for God. And I'm going to make sure my work ethics and my works habits glorify God. I'm not doing it for my substance and for my finances and for my money. I'm doing it to glorify the kingdom of God. And He raises us up and He blesses us beyond human understanding. Amen. I've got treasures, brothers and sisters, that your money will never touch. It can't buy, it can't have. Amen. You can't buy this. They tried to purchase the gift of the Holy Ghost when they seen the laying on of hands. You can't purchase this. You got to die to receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing together. The altars are open. Praise you, Jesus.
forget about yourself and concentrate on Him. Boy, that's a revelation. Hallelujah.
So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship Him. The altars are open. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Remember Brother Raina? Remember him in prayer? Concentrate on him and worship him. You love him? Are you coming to the altars with an expectation? Brother Rob has nothing, but I know one that has everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are there any others that want to gather in the altars? Praise you, Lord Jesus. As this couple stands in the altars this morning with an endeavor in their heart to do something unto the kingdom of God, it's a commendable thing that a husband and wife is willing to be spent of the Lord. Amen. It's a wonderful thing that they want to take and say, God, here I am. Use me. Take this life as a living sacrifice. Use me, oh God. Hallelujah. If you could sing the glory of God, if you could preach the glory of God, if you could live in the glory of God and say, God, I need your help. I need your strength. I need, Lord God, for you to move, to enlighten. Hallelujah.
We have come into this house.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love Him. Worship Him,
Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Let's sing again, amen. I want you that are still standing in the congregation, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to pray with me and with the brothers and sisters in the altars this morning. Oh God, we love you and we thank you, Lord God. Father God, we know that we're nothing without you. Father God, we know that we have no strength unless it's your strength. Father, we need this morning of your supernatural mighty strength. You are our power. You are the might by your Spirit. And Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus this morning, Lord God, that you would grant the petitions, Father God, to them. Father God, that these petitions and these requests, Father God, will be made known in the manifestation, Lord God, of the substance. Father God, knowing that faith, Lord God, brings forth a substance in the fullness of its manifestation. And Father God, the desire, Father God, we are looking and expecting and having a great expectation of the manifestation, Lord God, of the hope that lays within our hearts and our minds. Father God, we thank you that you make the impossible things possible. Father God, I love you and I thank you and I praise you. I ask you to bless, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I say bless in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I say forgive. Forgive sin in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Majesty.
Hallelujah.
Worship his majesty.
Y'all love him. Hallelujah. I say to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you walk out of these altars, this morning that your petitions are granted and made known, thus saith the Lord. Just simply believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let Satan rob it from you. Don't let him lie to you. He's the accuser and the liar. It's yours when you're standing for your sister that's lost on her way to hell. Hallelujah. God said, I'm granting life to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I died and inscribed her in the nail prints of my hands. Amen. And I say that she's got salvation, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe? Amen. Don't let doubt and unbelief rob you from the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Simply believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't leave these altars in despair. Don't leave these altars in a false hope this morning. I say, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Believe and have faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing, brothers and sisters, could stand between you and God. Nothing. Amen. The only thing that could be there is the obstacles that you have placed and that you haven't sacrificed. And if you would put them on the altars, he'll consume them. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it. Hallelujah. You love him? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star.
We love you, Jesus.
And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise him.
You love him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Just let him have his way. Let him minister to your heart. He put your sin as far as east is from the west. You've never got out of his sight. His everlasting and eternal arms of hope and love are ever there to embrace you and wooing you in. He loves you. He just wants your life. Not part of it. Not some of it. He wants all of it. He don't want you to hold back nothing. He's a jealous God. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Brother Eric, if you'll come up to dismiss the service. Let's sing it again, brothers and sisters, and let's just love him and worship him and praise him. He's worthy to be praised this morning. He is our God. He is our salvation. He is our hope. He is our strength. He makes us strong in weakness. Hallelujah. He delivers us from all evil. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Can you just love him and worship him? Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy as the Lamb. Hallelujah. He's worthy.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m., We are located at 304 Reno Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.